It's great to see all of you here. Let me welcome everybody joining us online. As you just heard, lots of fun things have been happening in the life of our church, fired up to be in this teaching series as well. But before we jump into that, one more quick thing. I've been mentioning this a few times already, but we are doing a membership class on Sunday nights this fall. It's a one-time class, but we're offering it at multiple opportunities. We've done two of them so far. We've got four dates left. So let me, again, talk about why we're doing this. First of all, some of you may be wanting to take the step to formally join our church, and this is an opportunity for you to do that. Others of you are already a member, but I'm asking you to attend one of these classes as well. And the reason why is because membership equates to ownership. And what I'm talking about, beyond just the basic foundation of what it means to be a member of New Hope, I'm taking about an hour to really unpack all things giving. We're looking at shifting our paradigm when it comes not just to how the funds are received, but how they are dispersed. And we try to be financially transparent about everything that happens around here. And so we don't want to make a change like that without sharing it with the members, those who actually make this place go. So I don't want to get into next year and we're talking about some things and you're like, I'm not really tracking with you there. So we're taking time this fall to unpack that. So hopefully you can find one of those times that works in your schedule and get signed up. And then for those of you who are newer, just attending the class, that doesn't make you a member. You get to make that choice at the end. And that's something to keep in mind as well. But hopefully you can join us for one of those. Now, we are in week two of Find Your People. If you missed last week, we talked about the things that you'll actually miss out on if you don't have your people in your life. I would encourage you to go back and listen to that. We teach in series, not just sermons, so they all tie together. It's posted on our YouTube channel, but also, if you just want to listen to the audio, it's not good to watch the video while you're driving around. That is frowned upon, all right? We do not endorse that behavior. Some of y'all didn't laugh, which means you just got convicted, all right? That's how that works, okay? But we have the audio of the messages on a podcast that you can subscribe to wherever you get your podcast, and listen to it each week. But where I want to pick it up today is a real practical and very simply titled, How to Find Your People. So we can't spend 4 weeks talking about the importance of finding your people and not get very practical about how to actually go about doing that. So the message notes have been mentioned. We'll get to those in just a second, but I need to give a little bit of a disclaimer before we jump into today's message. You've probably never heard a message like this at church before. It's very practical. So sometimes when a sermon is preached, it's more like the book of Romans, where there's theological truths, gospel truths, and we're basically saying, this is what God's word says, and we're challenged by it, and we don't adjust God's word to fit our lives. We actually adjust our lives to align with God's word, and there are sermons like that. That's not this sermon today. Now, I'm not going to get up here and do like heresy. That's not what I'm going to do today, okay? But what I am going to do is our sermon's going to feel more like the book of Proverbs. Now, if you're new to the Bible, the book of Proverbs basically says, for the most part, this is how life works. There's always exceptions, but for the most part, like if you plant some seeds in the spring and you take care of them, for the most part, you're gonna have a harvest in the fall. Now, every now and then, a storm comes through and wipes out your crop, right? But for the most part, if you plant in the spring, you'll harvest in the fall. For the most part, if you invest well, there will be a return. There are always exceptions. Proverbs is telling us this is how it's likely to happen. I was explaining the book of Proverbs to my boys years ago when they were little, and one of them looked at me and said, it sounds like the book of Proverbs should probably be called the book of probablys. And I said, yeah, that's right. This is probably what's going to happen in your life. Today's message is more like Proverbs. These are not hard facts. This is not gospel truth. There will be exceptions to the things I talk about today, but for the most part, if we follow these principles today, we can find our people. But there are exceptions. If you are one of the exceptions to what I talk about today, don't stop me in the lobby afterwards and tell me, all right? I'm just telling you right now, okay? I know there are exceptions to what I'm gonna talk about today, but for the most part, probably, if we follow these principles, we can find our people. All right, so let me give you a key observation before we jump in and get rolling. In fact, these are actually what you're jotting down today. They're not numbered, I know. We're so creative, right? So key observation, okay? We live in different spaces with different people in our lives. Nothing profound there. I just want you to open up the file in your mind of the relationships you have, how we do this thing called life with other people. We live in different spaces with different people in our lives. And so I want to run through some of these just to kind of, again, get the wheels turning, okay? First of all, we have our I'm just another face in the crowd space. You will find yourself in that space sometimes in life. In fact, I would suggest maybe that's how you feel here on a Sunday. Maybe you're new. Maybe you look around this big room, there's lots of people, and you feel like you're just another face in the crowd. If you go to this amazing place called a football stadium, y'all know college football, it starts next week. I mean, somebody celebrate for a second, okay? Just celebrate. Now, if you're not celebrating, we have a prayer team that will pray for you after the service. Just come on down front, get right with the Lord, all right? So some of us are a little excited about that. So if you go into a stadium, it's fun. You're there to cheer. But truth be told, you're kind of just another face in the crowd. We all understand that, all right? Let me give you another space we can live in, okay? We have our stranger danger space. Well, you don't know what's going on. Now, when I was growing up, this phrase did not exist. They just told us, avoid white vans. Like, if you see a white van with no windows and Ice Cream music's playing, you better run, all right? That's how they told us to live in the 80s, okay? Get out of there, all right? Now, it's like stranger danger. And I don't really resonate with that phrase because I've never met a stranger in my life. I mean, I just think, you know, why not? Let's just all get to know each other. I like to talk to people. And it's always fun when I can tell they have no interest in talking to me. I just talk louder, so I'm not deterred, all right? So I think that on the whole, like talking to strangers, not the worst thing. Like, in fact, when our kids were little, I told them, like, if you ever get lost, find a stranger and tell them you're lost. Because for the most part, they'll probably help you. Now, my wife corrected me because she was raised by two parents in law enforcement. And she was like, no, like that's, so we had a healthy discussion about that in our home, okay? So some of you may be more wired like me. Some of you are like, man, I don't like talking to anybody I don't know. But I think we could all identify that if we were in a space, like a public space with people we didn't know, and somebody like made a beeline to us, like we would kind of be like, whoa, what's about to happen here? I don't know this person. So we can identify with that feeling, right? Next, just different spaces. We have our, I think I recognize that person. I think I know them. You might be doing that on a Sunday. Maybe you traveled some this summer, you're back, you saw, I didn't know they went here. You see them across the parking lot or in the lobby or at your kid's school or at a ballpark, you know, extracurricular. You might be in a store, Target. Like, I think I know them from somewhere. We all kind of know that feeling, right? Again, just walking through these different spaces. We have our, I know who that is. It's like, you ever been out in public with one of your kids and they see their teacher from school? And they're like, is that Miss Jones? Like, yeah, she has a life outside your school, right? But it's hard for them to understand that. Like, I know them. Like, you're at Target or Walmart or wherever the place may be. Now, here is a test in life. If you're in Walmart or Target or Publix or one of the other fine establishments in our community and you see somebody you know, do you go to another aisle? Y'all know you've done it before. Do you find another aisle or do you go to them, all right? Just a good question to ponder, okay? So we have that. I think I know them or I recognize them, all right? Let me do the next one. And then finally we have this is my friend. So this isn't the like, I know who that is. This is my friend. There's no like discussion. There's no trying to figure this out. We know what's going on in their life. They know what's going on in our life. Hopefully you have some people like that here at New Hope. Obviously, we're talking in the message today how to find more of those kind of people. And then finally, because kind of the last space, again, I just want you to get the wheels turning. We have our I love this person space. Family, spouse, all the things. Now, in the course of a week, my guess is that you've probably experienced most, if not all, of these different types of spaces, okay? And so when we talk about finding your people, we've got to at least start by acknowledging there's sometimes that it's easy to do that. There's sometimes it's difficult to do that. In fact, that's the next thing I want you to jot down in your notes. It's a key insight. The key to finding your people is understanding which spaces are most conducive for friendship and then wisely choosing to put yourself in those spaces. That's the key to making friends. It's the key to finding your people. Some spaces are more conducive for friendship. Some spaces are more conducive for meeting new friends than others. And if you can figure out which one of those spaces are more conducive for making friends, and then you can strategically or consistently place yourself in those types of environments, in those types of spaces, over time, you're going to make more friends. So what we're going to spend the rest of our time today doing is breaking that down into four spaces. So I kind of just threw out a lot of different things. I want to focus on four different spaces, and I want us to talk about which one of those spaces is most conducive to forming friendships. But before we do that, let me tell you why. Quick little verse from the book of Proverbs that I've already mentioned earlier in the message. Proverbs 12:26. The righteous choose their friends carefully, but the way of the wicked leads them astray. I want you to choose your friends carefully. I want you to choose your friends strategically. In fact, before we go on any further, I just want you to think for a second, who are the friends in your life? Who are the 3 to 5 people in your life that you would call friends, that you hang out with? Who do you spend time with? You could be a teenager, you could be an adult. Who are your friends? Now, here's another good follow-up question. How are they influencing you? And is that good or bad? I mean, you've heard it said, if you show me your friends, I'll show you your future. You will become like the people that you spend time with. So how do we then go about carefully choosing our friends? We're going to use 4 quadrants to kind of guide our time today, okay? So I think you've got some room there if you want to draw. I want you to draw these boxes. I think this will be helpful if you follow along, and we're going to fill in some different things. Again, trying to narrow it down to these 4 different spaces, figuring out how we can more easily find our people, okay? So let me give you the first quadrant, and I've kind of already alluded to this, but when you are living in a public space, you're surrounded by people who know your interest. Why? Because even when you're with hundreds or thousands of people, you're typically there united because of a common interest. I mean, let's go back to the 2 examples I used earlier, a church like ours. We're around 2,500 people here every single Sunday. That's a lot of people. And there's a common interest that brings everybody here on our campus. I mean, even if you're new, maybe you're even checking things out. The fact that you're here, there's a common interest that you're open to the things of God. You're open to spiritual growth. You're open to seeing how God can take more control in your life and how you can learn more about God's word. If you go to a ball game, there's a common interest. It could be that you like the sport or you like the team, but when you're in a public space, typically the other people there are going to know what you're interested in, or you wouldn't have been there to begin with, all right? Second space that we're going to talk about today that you live in is a social space. Now, when you're in a social space, the people there know your name. The difference between a public space and a social space is that a social space is smaller. In fact, I would define a social space as anything under, let's say, 30 people. It's really hard to memorize more than 30 names. That's why schools try to keep classroom size in that 20 to 25 range. Not just because they want teachers to memorize all the names. There's study after study that shows that once you get to about 30 or more students in a classroom, it's difficult to manage that classroom. And if you're a teacher, you could give a hearty amen to that. Right? That just becomes challenging, okay? Now, we understand when you go into a university campus, sometimes there's large theater-style classrooms, but that's a whole different dynamic. But anytime you get over 30, it's hard to learn everybody's names. So just for a second, The average size church in America, still, and averages can be deceiving, but if you average all the churches together, denominations, all the things, the average size church in America is 87 people. So sometimes people will ask me, is, you know, a big church better or a small church better? And I'm not really sure that's the right question to ask, because my response would be, well, whether you go to a small church of 87 people or a large church of 2,500 people, you're not going to know everybody's name, because you can't memorize 87 names. So regardless of the church size, once you get to about 30, 40 people, it gets challenging to really learn everybody's names. Now, once you kind of lock that in, all right, difference, I know 10, 15, 20 people, I can learn their names more easily. Those 2 spaces start to make sense. All right, give me the 3rd space. A personal space. A personal space are the friends that know your business. These are the people who you even let get all up in your business. Like if a complete stranger starts asking you about your business, it's going to be weird. If one of your friends starts talking to you about that, it's fine. So these are your friends, your close friends. They know what's going on in your life. And just for a second, this entire message should be heard through the lens of face-to-face with people. I'm not talking about anything online today at all. Like nothing about this message has any applications in the digital world. Because some of y'all right now are thinking, personal space, know your business. I've got lots of Facebook friends. I can't wait to get to heaven one day and tell the Lord, but I had Facebook friends. I mean, what on earth, right? Like Facebook friends, some of y'all put too much of your business on Facebook. That was for free, all right? You just do. Ain't nobody need to know that. You're just venting. See, I'm old school, y'all. I'm old school. I don't think anything replaces being with people, okay? I think you should have to go talk to people. I think you should have to introduce yourself. I think you should have to shake somebody's hand, look them in the eye. I'm old school, okay? So why are you so old school? Well, because see, when I met Morgan, and we were hanging out in different spaces, kind of like what we're talking about here today, when I started getting to know like who she was, and I started thinking to myself, the Lord did a good job with that one. Like I just started having these thoughts. I had to walk up to her and introduce myself. I had to talk to her. I had to ask her out. I mean, that's kind of how this worked. And some of y'all are like, really? How'd that work? I know, it's crazy. Like, our phones didn't even text back then. I know. We couldn't take pictures with them. There was no social media. I know, it was ancient. We barely had running water. I mean, it was unreal, okay? So, like, that's just a lot of how, like, I'm wired with these things. But like, I believe in that. So you got to have some people, friends, they know your business. But then there's this fourth category. The intimate space. The smallest group of people, and they know your secrets, and we have given bad definitions of the word intimate and intimacy in church for years. And so let me clarify. When we talk about intimacy or an intimate space, all we're talking about is full trust. Full trust. So if you're married, obviously that relationship fits in this space. But let's set marriage aside for a second. Because I actually think it's a gift in life if you make a friend that you could describe this way. In fact, I think if you go through life and you have more than one of these, what a gift. I don't think you can have more than 3 to 5 of these types of people in your life over the course of a lifetime. Because I want y'all to hear how I'm defining this. I'm defining this as individuals who know your secrets. They know everything about you, and they still like you. Most people don't know everything about you. Who's somebody that knows everything about you, and they still like you, they still love you, they still choose to be around you. They choose to put up with you. That's a gift. And oh, by the way, let's have some fun. We think, well, know my secrets, all this stuff. So most of your friends are your friends because they don't know everything about you. This isn't rocket science. I hope it's okay that we're being honest in church. But you've kept some things from them. Yeah, that's dating. Dating is two people keeping things from one another so they'll like each other. Because if they really got to know them, they would dump them like this. Some of y'all came on a date to church today. And your lunch in the food court's gonna be fun, right? I might just walk by and look while you're eating, okay? So just for a second. There's growth in relationships, and the more you get to know one another, the more you feel safe, you feel comfortable, kind of let your guard down, you kind of let them get to know you a little bit better. But all joking aside, this is why sometimes those first few years of marriage can be really difficult, because it's now that the two people really get to know each other. They see all sides of one another, and that can be a little surprising, for lack of a better word, right? So this is just how we go through this thing called life. And I want you to see that we all have people who we relate to and people that we live with in these different spaces. Okay, now, let me give you the next thing I want you to jot down in your notes, and then we're gonna come back to these quadrants. Each space provides for us the people to choose from for the next space. So we're gonna go back to this drawing. It's not really a drawing, it's a diagram, four quadrants in a second, and it'll make more sense. Each space provides for us the people to choose from for the next space. I like the fish. So if you think about it like in terms of a pond, so each pond provides the fish for the next pond, okay? So that's kind of how, you know, I want your brain to start to track with this. Now, before we go back to it and really begin to clarify what we mean by each space providing for the people for the next space, let me give you another verse that really helps capture why this is so important. 1 Corinthians 15:33. Do not be misled. Bad company corrupts good character. The best part of that verse is the last two words, good character. You can take someone who's had good character up until this point in their life. If they start hanging out with the wrong people, they will become corrupted. It happens every time. I can remember I was having lunch with a college student years ago when I was a college pastor, and he was considering starting to date this girl that he was attracted to, but she wasn't a Christian. God wasn't even on her radar. And he's asking me, his college pastor, whether or not I think this is a good idea if he should date this girl. I'm like, no, send the check. Like, this will be the fastest lunch I have all day, right? What are we doing here? And so I said, no, that's a terrible idea. Like, you should not even talk to her again. Like, you should run, because you just told me you're attracted to her. Oh boy, this is bad news. And I'm talking about Joseph from the Old Testament. You run as fast as you can from her, right? She's Jezebel. Like, I am really trying to get through to this young man. Like, get out of there, okay? Now, why am I being so adamant in this lunch? And he asked me the same question, like, my goodness, you know, calm down. Like, why are you acting like this? And I said, well, I need you to stand on the table. He didn't. He didn't stand on the table. Lunches with me are fun. I was like, if you stand on the table, this will make a lot more sense. But he wouldn't stand on the table, which I understood. But then I said, well, just roll with it. Like, if you were standing on the table and I laid down on the floor and like we reached up and joined hands, like, would it be easier for me to pull you off the table or for you to pull me up onto the table? And he said, it'd be easier for you to pull me down. And I said, that's what this woman will do. She'll pull you down every single time. Like, if you get around the wrong people, they will pull you down. Dating relationship, they will pull you down. Wrong friends, they will pull you down. They will corrupt your good character. All of the work that you've put in to your life thus far can go down the drain, quite simply, if you surround yourself with the wrong people. This is why this matters so much. Let's go back to our four quadrants and let's see if we can make some sense of where these people come from. Okay, now, the people who you form social spaces with, that's a really nerdy way of saying when you hang out in groups of 10, 15, or 20, typically came from a public space where there was a shared interest. That's how church works. Public space, big worship services. We want all of you to experience a healthy social space with 10, 12, 15, 20 other people, sometimes in a life group, sometimes on a serving team. Our goal is to structure everything in our church. It doesn't matter what it is, it happens with 10 to 12 to 15 to 20 people. Why? Because this is actually gonna be a helpful way for you to make friends. Think about a school. You got all these kids that go to a school and they break them down by age and then they break them down by classroom. So it's a public space, don't think public school, just think public space, large group of people broken down into smaller groups. There could be a football team at the school, a band, a debate club, or whatever. In fact, if your kid's at school, I would challenge you to challenge them, find some type of smaller group that you can be a part of. This will make it easier for you to make friends. I tell college students this all the time. It doesn't matter if you go to a college of 3,000 students or 30,000 students. If you don't find healthy groups of 10 to 15 to 20 students to make friends with, college is gonna be a terrible experience for you. So you've got to seek these out. Let me give you a fun example. So I've mentioned college football a few times. I don't know if you can tell, I'm pretty excited, but we lived in New York City for 4 years, quite a while ago now, 2007 to 2011. And college football is not as big a deal in the Northeast, certainly in New York City, but a lot of college graduates from the South that, you know, went to their university games and love football, they move up there for jobs. And so ESPN on College Game Day did a story about this a few years ago. There's a couple of streets in a particular part of Manhattan where there's all of these different like bars they're not like shady bars. It's like an Applebee's. Well, it's not like an Applebee's either, right? Applebee's is lame, right? It's not like an Applebee's. If you work at Applebee's, God bless you and your ministry. But like, this is New York City, all right? So like, it's a cool bar restaurant kind of vibe, all right? And you can walk down these streets. I've done it before on Saturdays, and it's like there's the LSU restaurant, there's the Alabama restaurant, there's the Auburn restaurant, you know, Carolina restaurant, Duke restaurant. They all have games on. And so these are all, I mean, the Vanderbilt restaurant, there's no game on in there. They're just doing math problems. All right, so there's that restaurant, okay? So like what's happened is all these people are in this big city and they're gathering together and they're learning one another's names and they're cheering on their team. So again, if you get into a smaller space, 10, 15, 20 people, that starts to make sense, okay? Then what happens? The people who you become friends with, you typically met them in a social space. I mean, the people who go to those games in New York, obviously they want to watch their team, but they're also looking to make friends. I mean, people who sign up for a life group, they're interested in what the life group is studying, but they're also hoping to make friends. Like, you can have a child that joins an extracurricular activity. There might be 20 people doing it, but maybe in the course of that, they really connect with one or two other kids and become friends. Morgan and I were in a life group years ago with some other married couples. And over time, I mean, this is 15 years ago, we've lost touch with most of the couples that were in that group. It was a good experience. But there's one couple in particular, they live down in South Florida, and we've just kept up with them over the years. They now have three kids, we have three kids. But we met them not in a church service on a Sunday, we met them in a life group that met during the week. So once you can see, 10, 15, 20 people, from that, I'll meet some friends. And then finally, typically, someone who you form an intimate relationship with was your friend first. I actually think that's a really helpful progression. I mean, let's just talk about dating. When it comes to dating, I think it's good to meet potential people to date in healthy social spaces, and then maybe you're friends for a while, and then maybe you kind of get up the courage and like you go out on a date. Now, just for a second, and I'm looking around the room, I don't see too many little ones in the room, so I don't think I'll get in trouble for saying this because I didn't give a warning, that's on me. But I want to say this because I want us to go, oh my goodness, that's what happens. So here's how the world presents dating. The world presents dating as moving from the public space, I'm going to go meet someone, to the intimate space. It's called a one-night stand. And we wonder why people keep having heartache and why so many people are walking around broken, because they don't understand the natural progression of how healthy relationships work. And if you usurp this process, you'll live with the pain and have a story to tell. But you see, God created it this way, and if we'll cooperate with it this way, we'll actually begin to form those types of friendships, right? So let me give you the action step then with all this. Like, this doesn't mean anything unless we put it into practice. Like, okay, cool. Four quadrants, arrows, all the things. The action step is placing myself in God-honoring social spaces is the key to finding my people. I hope you've picked up on that. If you will place yourself strategically in God-honoring social spaces, you're going to find your people. Now, there are plenty of social spaces that are not God-honoring, and you can fall victim to those. But I'm telling you to be specific and strategic about putting yourself in some God-honoring social spaces. So let's go back to our little drawing there, and let's really unpack this. Kind of already talked around it a few times. But if you get into a life group, that's a healthy social space, and you're potentially going to make some friends. Everything that we do as a church has this goal in mind. And so Pastor Nick mentioned earlier a lot of things that we're celebrating that have happened over the last week. So just for a second, like, why behind the what? So when the women's reveal event happened in here on Monday night, it happened in this room. It would have been very easy. In fact, that happened in this room. We had an event, the Killer Team event, one-day Killer Team event, happened on Wednesday. And then yesterday, we had our men's breakfast. So we do services in here, and there's lots of chairs set up like this. It would have been easier on us and easier on everybody who makes all of these things happen if all three of those events, if we had just did them with the room just like it is right now. But we don't do it that way. Like, we clear all the chairs out, we bring tables in, we put chairs around the table. Why? Because we're trying to create healthy social spaces around tables so that people who attend events also have the opportunity to make friends. We're going to have a new to New Hope after this service. Many of you are going to be attending there. It would be easy for us if we just said, everybody that's going to attend new to New Hope, let's just kind of sit right here in the center section. We don't do that. We take another room on our campus. We have a whole team they're going to flip the room and clear it out and set up tables and set up chairs. Why? Because we want people to have a healthy social space so they can make a friend. Everything that we do at New Hope, the event isn't the goal. The event is the opportunity for you to make a friend. Everything we do, because we know we're a large church. And our goal is that as we keep growing larger, reaching more people with the good news of the gospel, it actually feels like we're getting smaller. And I do believe both can happen. I believe you can grow larger as you reach more people, but I believe you can feel smaller as you're more intentional about giving people these opportunities. So let's talk about where you're at right now in the fall. I mean, a lot of us, we're kind of traveling and doing things in the summer, and the fall is typically the time everybody gets in a little bit more of a set routine. What I want to do is I want to challenge you very specifically to figure out how's this going to look for you over the next few months. So let's start with your kids, okay? Those of you who are parents, if you have kids or teenagers, I want to challenge you, get your kids and teenagers into their age-appropriate ministry environments. So if you're new, here's what that looks like. On Sunday mornings, we have ministry environments available for babies through middle schoolers. Now, they're not in the same room. That'd be fun. All right, so we have different environments, nursery, preschool. Then we have kindergarten. We have first through third. We have fourth and fifth. And we have middle school. And every single one of those environments, if you consistently check your kid in, here's what I can promise you, they're gonna be in a healthy social space. Somebody's gonna teach God's word in a practical way, but then the added step is they'll be broken up into smaller groups, and this is the opportunity for them to make friends. Ultimately, this is what will allow them to enjoy being at church, is making friends. And our adults aren't just concerned about teaching a lesson, they're equally concerned about whether or not your child makes a friend. So I wanna challenge you, get them here. And then on Wednesday nights, if you have a middle school or high school student, get them up here on Wednesday nights. Starting in September, they will actually be in different environments for the teaching time, middle school in one room, high school in another. Why? Well, it'll be easier to teach them, but it'll also be easier to get them into these healthy life group, social space, 10, 12, 15 people so they can make friends. So listen, parents, I'm just gonna challenge you straight up. Get your kids here consistently. And if you will, they will make friends. Now, if your kid looks at you and says, I don't want to go, you just look them in the eye and say, I don't care. You're going in Jesus' name. I mean, did you ever have that option as a child growing up with your parent? Eddie Bishop would not have been happy had I told him what I wanted to do. Now, be kind about it. Be sensitive. And then let me say this. If you check your, I don't care what age they are, first grade, eighth grade, 11th grade, if you check your kid in 4 weeks in a row and they have not made a friend, you email the ministry leader of that environment here at our church and you tell them he or she's having a difficult time making a friend, and we will step in and do whatever we can to help without making it weird or singling your kid out. Sometimes all it takes is another adult going, hey, let me introduce you to so-and-so. Sometimes that's all it takes, okay? And we want to do that. We'd be honored to come alongside you and help. And our team does that really well, and they would love to receive that email. We're all in this together. Our goal is for your kids to make friends. Listen, everything about it, I'm hoping you're seeing something here. I'm a former life groups pastor, okay? That's how God wired me. I think that when we get into these groups, some real growth begins to happen. So everything about our church is structured that way. We've only been here for 2 years, a little over 2 years. And I knew when we moved here, if we did not have these healthy type of environments, that spiritual growth was not going to happen. And so the first thing I did was I focused on our kids' ministry and I focused on our student ministry to make sure that we had these healthy type of environments. Now, why would I do that? Because I have a fourth grader, I have an eighth grader, and I have a 10th grader. And their long-term spiritual growth is tied more to their ability to make friends with other young men, not perfect, but young men who God is on their radar, listen, than anything I'm going to verbally tell them at home.
The older your kids get, the more the influence of their friends increases. You might as well cooperate with that. Just surround them with the right friends. If you put your kids in environments where they're around the right kids, they'll choose the right friends. Okay? Somebody say, well, I can't control that at school. I know you can't control that at school. That's why we're so intentional about that here at New Hope Church. Now, for those of you who are adults, let me now challenge you, okay? This QR code, we've mentioned it multiple times today. I want you to go ahead, scan the QR code. I'm giving you three options that by the end of this fall, let's just say by the time we get to Christmas, can you believe that? August is almost over. That you'll say, you know what? I had my people this fall. Here's what that looked like. Obviously, life groups are one of those options. I think it's probably the best option. If there's a life group that fits your schedule, if there's a life group that works for you, sign up for it. Attend when you can attend. Perfect attendance is not a requirement. And here's what I'll promise you. Sometimes I think we overpromise as pastors and churches. I'm not promising you you're going to make a best friend for life that you'll buy matching sweatshirts with, which don't do that anyway, all right? But like, I'm not promising you that. Here's what I'm promising you. You will experience a healthy social space that gives you the potential to make some friends with people who God is on their radar. And here's what makes that really fun at New Hope, both for you and for your kids. You'll make friends with some people who are very different than you. I love that about our church. We have a lot of diversity as a church. And this is a great opportunity for you to make friends with somebody whose background is totally different than yours and yet united by Jesus Christ. So that's the first option. You may find a life group that works for you, okay? Second option, you may not be able to attend a life group during the week because your schedule just doesn't allow for it, which is where I want to draw your attention to serving here on a Sunday. Every serving team in any ministry area is constructed 10, 12, 15, 20 people for you to make friends. There are a good number of people who show up here early on Sundays. They'll serve at the 9 o'clock service. They'll attend this one, or they'll attend at the 9 o'clock service, serve at this one. And that's how, while they're already here on campus, they're able to experience the healthy social space, the healthy team setting. And that is what gives them the opportunity to make friends. And quite frankly, that's how most people in our church move from just being a face in the crowd to being a name that's recognized. Like, that's really how that works. Like, once you join a team, like, now all of a sudden everybody starts to have names because you have the opportunity to get to know people. And then the third one, I just put it before. The third one is something that we're doing for, it's a new thing we're doing this fall. It's called Couples Connect. It's also there when you scan the QR code on the Next Steps Hub. And this is going to be something, it's going to be, there's four dates. Now, we're going to send you the dates if you sign up. It's for married or engaged couples. It's going to be one Sunday a month in September, October, November, and December. It will be immediately after this service, so you'll already be here on campus. It'll be an hour and a half, and my wife, Morgan, and I, and Pastor Nick and his wife, Laura, we're going to kind of split duties leading this, and I'm looking for 50 to 60 couples to sign up for this. Across multiple generations, I'd love to have couples that have been married for 50 years and couples that have been married for 5 months and everything in between. And again, we'll put you at tables. We'll give you some type of ministry practical guide. And then somebody at your table will discuss that with you. You'll have the opportunity to make friends with some other couples in our church. We'll feed you lunch for free. We'll feed your kids for free. We'll take care of them. An hour and a half, you'll be out of here. So that's maybe I can't get into a life group, but I could do that for four Sundays this fall. And at the end of the fall, I'm just telling you, you will have made some friends with some other couples in our church. But listen, Don't not do anything. I mean, if you just keep showing up and sitting in here every single Sunday and you don't take a step intentionally to put yourself in an environment around 10, 12, 15, 20 other people, I promise you, you're going to get to a point in your life where that strategy will start to work against you. Life will throw something your way. You'll need somebody's guidance or help. And in a church this size, it will be difficult in real time to now figure out who do I turn to. But if you'll go ahead and take these steps now, and you'll begin to just get connected and get to know people, over time, you're gonna have the friends, again, not the friends how most of us think of friends, friends that love the same things we love, do the same things we do, agree with everything we say. That's how the world defines friendship. Friendship from the New Testament are people who love you enough to help you grow closer to God. And those are really the friends that all of us need. So you find the next step that works for you, and then have the courage to take that, all right? Will you stand with me as we pray together and prepare our hearts to respond and worship? And so, God, we thank you that you didn't just save us and then leave us alone, that you didn't call us to live a life of faith and then tell us to do it all by ourselves, that you gave us one another. But God, for many of us, we have not yet stepped into specific opportunities to make those friends. And God, maybe today we see it right in front of us. Perhaps it is joining a life group. Perhaps it is serving on a team. Maybe it's getting our kids or students more involved in the ministry environments that happen here. God, maybe it's us and our spouse connecting with other couples on Sundays this fall. God, I pray that you would just give us the courage to follow through with the step that you've led us to today. And then God, as we now enter into this time of response, God, we wanna acknowledge your goodness. We wanna thank you for your faithfulness. So as we sing out these praises to you, would you fill this place with your presence? And we pray these things in Jesus' name, amen.